glad to see you today. Thank you for coming. Some of you have shown me your dental work, and that's wonderful. I like that when you do that. I want to welcome you, and I want to welcome everyone who's worshiping with us online as well this week. We're so glad to have all of you. Now, you know, stuff happens to me. I don't make this up. You can ask my wife. It happened this week, and so I'm going to tell you about it. Just prepare yourself. Here's what happened. You know that I can't fix things. You know that about me. You know that my wife has a toolbox at home, and she doesn't allow me to use it. However, there was this little knob on our grill that broke. It's just a little, it's the timer knob on the grill. It's been out there forever. And so I said, well, we got to get a new one. It just cracked. It broke in two. So I asked somebody. I got some advice. They told me who to call. I called this guy in Texas named Dudley. I said, Dudley, I got to have a new knob for my electric grill. And he said, okay. And so I gave him the right numbers and everything. And he sent me the part. And I got the part. And I said, you know, how hard can this be, right? There's this little stem that sticks out. There's this little knob that goes on it. I, Joe Lay, will put the knob on the stem. I will make this happen myself, and I will be so proud. And Laura, she will just be ecstatic that I did something right, okay? Because she, the gifts of service, that's what she likes, so I was going to serve her. However, when I tried to put the knob on the grill, it was not the right knob, and I know this because it shoved the stem down into the grill, and now you couldn't even see it. Okay, now I have a different problem. So I'm going, well, that's not good. So I go out there and I get a screwdriver. Aren't you impressed that I know what a screwdriver is? And it was a Phillips head, not just any screwdriver. And so I worked, there are four screws. I called this guy. I said, how do I take this off? Okay, he said, here's what you do. I got two screws off on one side. The two on the other side were not budget. They had been there since the place was built, I guess, and they were old. And so I came, you know what I do? I come to people. I surround myself with great people. And so I came to Katie Winton. Katie Winton does IT around here. She knows everything. So I went to her and I said, Katie, I can't get these to unscrew. What do I do? And she says, WD-40. I said, okay. So I asked Laura to go get some WD-40, and she did, and she brought it to me, and I sprayed it all over me, and it didn't help a bit. No. I'm talking about listening today, and I wanted to make sure you're with me. So I sprayed it on those screws, and she said, just let it sit for a while, which I did, as instructed, because I listened. And then I took the screwdriver, and son of a gun, we got those other two screws off. Now I've got the face plate off. It's just hanging there because there's wires and things coming down. All I want to do is take this one little timer box, put it back where it goes, get it in the right place, then put the screws back on it, put it all up, and then I'll get the right part, right? Simple enough, right? And so, not knowing what I'm doing, there's not a lot of parts in there. It's how much can there be? And so my left hand grazes one of those wires in the electric grill, and it spoke to me loudly. It got my attention, and I said, oh, that was not pleasant. So my wife is with me, and she said to me, maybe we should turn the power off. Now you tell me, where were you when I needed you? I said, no, we're not going to do that because I'm through. I'm not going to mess with this anymore. So I called the guy back in Texas. I said, Dudley, you gave me the wrong part. I got to have a different part, but I'm going to get the guy over here. I'm going to get the repairman. So I got the news. I got the right guy. The guy came to my place. He came back and looked at it. He said, yes, this is the wrong part. It's not just you, Joe. No one could have put this knob on here. It's not the right one, which made me feel better. I just must admit. So he said, but also you need a new timer box as well because this is shot. And I said, okay. So we got Dudley on the phone while I've got the guy there. I'm saying, okay, Dudley, we got to have a new part. We got to have a new timer box. And here's the man who's going to tell you all about it. Because my only gift is recruiting, and I've recruited him, and he's going to fix it now, okay? And so he talked to Dudley, and they had a great time together. And he said, okay, I'll mail you the part. He said, you want to put it on the same credit card? I said, no, put it on his. Let's see what happens. No, I didn't. I said, yes. So they sent it to me, and it's coming this week. week. I'll give you updates on how the grill is doing, okay? But I learned something. So the guy, when he came to the condo, before he looked at it, he said, is the power off to the grill? And I said, funny you should mention that. I know on personal experience, it is not. He said, well, I always like to turn it off. He said, 110 is not too bad, but 220 can bite you, and it can just hang on, right? And so I guess I'm fortunate to be here today. I guess God just takes care of preachers and children. That's all I can say. And so I'm glad to be here. Now, I heard a preacher say one time, an African-American preacher, he was from Central Florida. In fact, he became a bishop. I loved him. He was great. And he said, when they introduced him to speak, he stood up and he said, a lot of people will say, I'm glad to be here. He said, not me. He said, I'm just glad to be. They said, what do you mean? He said, I'm the seventh of seven children. My mom and daddy could have stopped at five. I'm just glad to be. So I want to tell you today, I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to be after that electrical, that shocking experience that I had this past week. Now, why did I tell you that? Well, here's why. Because today we're going to talk about listening. So if you have an electric grill at home and you need to work on it, let me just say to you, the first thing you need to do is turn the power off. Or better yet, contact me and I'll get my guy and he'll come over there and fix your grill for you, okay? Are you listening?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because I wanted to get your attention. Now, I want to talk about good decisions we've made in the past. You love making good decisions, don't you? You celebrate those over and over again, but sometimes we make bad decisions, right? And so we go and we look in our mind, we think back, and we say, I wish I had that opportunity to do that over again, because I would do things differently. And so today, the theme is you'll be glad you did. And so we're going to listen, and maybe we're going to learn some things. We're going to apply them to our lives and see, you know, what is it I need to take advantage of and learn today? I need to have some insights of wisdom. Insights are facts or observations or knowledge, and I need to have that about listening. And so we're going to look at that. Now, we've already said in this series that what happens is the decisions we make today affect us tomorrow. I want to thank both of you who knew that answer. Okay, because we've talked about it before. The decisions we make today do affect us tomorrow. So we need to be wise in the decisions that we make. And wisdom is looking at the problem and determining, in light of my past and in light of my future, what's the wisest thing for me to do. Now, for children, a lot of times, they're just taught to learn and they listen and they hear their parents and they hear their teachers and they listen well. But sometimes we adults, as we get older, don't always listen as well as we should. My father-in-law was a railroad engineer in Tennessee, and so he lost a lot of hearing, and so he had hearing aids. But it really didn't matter whether he had his hearing aids on or not. He really just heard the things he wanted to hear. If he didn't want to hear, you know, he wouldn't respond. I asked him if I could ask his daughter out many times, and I got no response whatsoever, even when he's wearing the hearing aid. And finally, when I did get a response from him, all he ever said to me for the longest time was no. No, that's the answer. No. And then after we got married, he would introduce me as Miss Dorothy's son-in-law. That's where I stood with him, okay? But I digress. I'm not bitter. Let's move on. So we want to listen to other people. I have hearing aids now, and it makes a big difference for me. And so I try to listen, especially when I go to staff meeting. And we have a big group of people in there. And so I turn it up and I make sure that I've got the speech just right and I can hear. And then if I can't hear them, I say, look, I'm doing my part. You've got to do yours. Because if you're at the other end of the table and you're talking to me with your hand over your mouth, I'm not going to be able to hear you. Oh, I'm sorry. They get back to me. just a little subliminal message to the staff before we have staff meeting tomorrow. Just, I'm preparing them for the next day, okay? Now, what happens to us is that we learn things and we benefit and we hear the things we want to hear. Don't you hear the things you want to hear? Easily. I remember there's one of our staff members that preached recently, and I went into her office and I said, let me just tell you, people really bragged on your preaching the other day. You did such a good job. And this big smile came across her face. I mean, she could not have contained it. I think she smiled the rest of the day because it was good to hear. You like to hear that. But what about the things you don't want to hear? How well do we listen to those? Because those are the ones we also need to hear. And so today we're going to talk about that. And when we listen to the things we don't want to hear, what's that called? It's called maturity. Because people who want to grow are always learning and they're always listening. They're always benefiting from information. Now, it's not natural to listen to the things we don't want to hear, but it is beneficial to us. And so we try to implement that. Now, I've already said in this series, some of our greatest regrets come from a series of unwise decisions. Have you looked back in your life and said, I made this decision, it led to this, led to this. I kept making unwise decisions, and now I have regrets about that. And so we need to stop doing that. Stop making unwise decisions. Well, how can I do that? Well, a lot of times we can get the benefit of another person. We can listen to someone else that we trust, someone else that can minister to us and teach us. Now, we have friends and family members and individuals that we care about. And so sometimes we can see that they're making bad decisions. And what do? We love them, and so we jump in front of them and we say, hey, you're making some bad decisions now. You might want to back the truck up and not go in that direction, right? And then they have a choice. Are they going to listen or not? And if they refuse to listen, it's like you can kind of see where this is headed. And you can see the accident coming before it ever gets there. And then they get into a situation relationally or financially or in some way in their career. They make some decision. It doesn't work out for them. And so you're trying to help them, but they won't listen. So sometimes we can't see the things other people can see very clearly. Sometimes we have blinders on when it comes to us, but we can see stuff for other people. And so we can listen. We can say, hey, look at this situation. Listen to what's going on. Tell me what I should do here. And sometimes they can give us great input. And when you hear yourself saying, I don't need your advice, stop talking to me, that might be a time when you need to kind of back up a little bit and realize, hey, I can learn something here. You find yourself thinking those thoughts, then you need to tap the brakes a little bit. And for somebody today, you're sitting right here, and maybe your spouse or your fiance, maybe your peer, maybe your sibling, maybe your parents, maybe your children, somebody has told you something, but you're not listening to them. I just want to encourage us to listen and benefit from that. And here's what you see. Pay attention to the tension. When there's tension about a situation where you want to do something and somebody else that you respect and trust is saying, I don't think I would do that, pay attention to that tension because God has a will and he has a plan and he can bring all that together if we'll just pay attention to it. Now, King David was the king of Israel and he had a son named Solomon, and Solomon became the king of Israel. And so God asked him what he wanted. He said, I want wisdom. And God made him the wisest person who's ever lived. And he said, because you asked for wisdom and you didn't ask for riches, I'm going to make you rich too. So he was wise and he was rich, and he said, I'm going to give you peace throughout your time on the throne. I mean, talk about a blessed person. This guy was blessed, wasn't he? But he took the throne when he was 20 years old, and he was wise enough to say, you know what? I don't know everything by myself. I don't know everything that I need to know. He was wise enough He was humble enough to say, I need help. And what he prayed was a great model for you and me to remember and to practice in our lives. Here's what he says in 1 Kings. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father, David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. He's the wisest person in the world. He's the wealthiest person in the world. He's going to have peace throughout his time on the throne. And what does he say? I don't know anything. I'm like a little child. Please help me, God. What he's saying is that you, God, put me on the throne. These people didn't put me on the throne. You did. And I need your help to accomplish what you want me to accomplish. That is a huge recognition for a young man to make. He goes on and says, so give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? He had a discerning heart. Do you know what a discerning heart is? A discerning heart is an obedient heart. I'm listening to the Lord. I'm discerning His will. I'm going to be obedient to Him. I'm going to follow Him. He goes on in Scripture and says, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Does it sound like this guy's got some wisdom? And God gives it to him. And all we know is that water follows the path of least resistance. But you know what else does that? Wisdom follows the path of least resistance. If I run into an obstacle, why is that? If I'm not agreeing with another person and they're not agreeing with me, can we get consensus here? Lord, what are you trying to say to me? Because I want to follow the path of least resistance. In other words, I just want to get in your will and I want to be obedient to it. I want to follow you and do what you're calling me to do. Humility equals receptivity. Pride always equals resistance. And so you need to follow that. If you've got too much pride, you're saying, I can't hear you. I'm not listening. I want to do what I want to do. That gets you in trouble because pride comes before a fall. And then it says, because of Solomon's decisions, here's what happened. His fame spread to all the surrounding nations. Not only Israel, but people from all over began to hear about Solomon. And they could not believe all they were hearing. In fact, the Queen of Sheba heard about Solomon, heard about his wisdom. And she traveled there to Israel. And she said, I want to meet you and find out if you're as wise as everybody says you are. And she asked him all kinds of questions. And he answered every question. And she marveled. She said, what they told me does not begin to describe who you really are. You really do have great wisdom. You are blessed by God. What a blessing that is. And she went home. She was like telling everybody, let me tell you something. I just met a guy who has great wisdom. Now, here's the thing that you would think. People sat at Solomon's feet to ask him questions, and he always had the answers. Of all the people on the earth, he needed advice the least. But what did he do? In Scripture, he's always writing about wisdom. He's always seeking advice. He's always talking about when to resist advice. He's talking about it more than any other writer or philosopher or author of any scripture at the time, because he knows how important it is. Because of his extraordinary wisdom, even Solomon would listen to outside counsel. What do you think? What's your opinion? What do you believe ought to do? He would listen to the Lord. He would listen to his trusted advisors, and he would pray about things, and he would follow that. That you find scattered his wisdom throughout Proverbs. Let me just share a few of those verses. One says this, instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. In other words, no matter how smart you are, you can always learn. He's saying nobody's old enough, nobody's wise enough, nobody is in a position not to need outside counsel. It also says a wise person will hear and increase in learning, and a person of understanding will acquire wise counsel. I want to get input from other people. And listen, people who are wise, they don't have to be told and they don't have to be sold. All you have to do is say, hey, I want to tell you something. And they're like, I want to hear it. Sit down. Thank you for sharing. I want to know what you, give me your creativity. Give me your wisdom. I want to hear from you. They ask for it. They don't wait for people to ask them. They're going to other people saying, give me some advice. Talk to me about this situation. And the observation is that we need to hear, especially when we don't want to. That's when we can learn the most. Solomon also says in Proverbs, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Boy, they could have my picture next to that verse right there. Because sometimes I think I'm right. When Laura and I first got married, she made this observation after a period of time. She said, you think you're always right, don't you? And I said, well, yeah. And she said, in one instance, she said, that she had been right. And she said, just say it. Just say it. Just say, I was right and you were wrong. And I said, okay, I was right and you were wrong. She said, that's not what I meant. But I learned something. I learned that Laura is often right. Who knew that my wife is right? Even when she's wrong, she's right. Let me just tell you, I know this thing now. And so I've learned from that. I see a lot of you looking at each other if you're married. And I see wives looking at their husbands and saying, listen to him. He's wise. He knows what he's talking about. That's what he's saying to you. Okay, now, what is a fool? Because he talks about a fool. Well, a fool is someone who says there's no creator. Everything is just random. What you do today doesn't have any impact on tomorrow. And Solomon says, no, that's what a fool is. And then he goes on and says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a person who listens to advice is wise. Now, I already said that if you don't want advice, you probably need it, right? Could be financial, could be relational, could be with your kids, could be with your spouse, could be in some other area with your fiance. Wherever it is, you need to hear it. Now, here's a little red flag for you. If you're listening to somebody and they're telling you something, or you're thinking, I'm going to try something, but you're hesitant to share it with anybody else, and you won't tell. I'm not going to tell them. I'm not going to get their two cents. I'm not going to get their feedback. I'm just going to do it. I don't want to talk about it. That's a red flag. If you won't share it with somebody else that you respect and appreciate and trust, then chances are it's a red flag. You're going down the wrong road. You need to move in a different direction. So if you're planning something you're not willing to share, you might want to think about that, because not only does it affect you, but it affects the people that love you and the people that you love. The regret that we have is not just about you. It's about all those people around you. Now, Proverbs says this, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. You know, I've spent my ministry surrounding myself with really great people. I really do. I try to hire the best people I can find, people with wisdom. I try to get lay people who are the smartest and the sharpest and the best to be in leadership in the church, because I really only have one gift. Do you know what that is? It's not electrical work. Let me just tell you. Cameron knows. What is it, Cameron?
Recruiting.
That's right. I am a gifted recruiter. I can't do anything, but I'm excellent at recruiting other people who can. So I just get those people around me, and I say to them, hey, what do we need to do? And they are so creative, and they come up with great answers. I say, I never thought of that. That is really good. Let's do that. Man, I'm so impressed. I'm going to go home now. Y'all take care of that, right? Because they're so smart, they do it, okay? So you have to have many advisors. Now, you want your marriage, you want your relationship with your children to succeed. You want a relationship with your grandchildren. You want your new job to work. You want your second marriage to work. What you need to do is you realize that plans fail for lack of input. Now, here's another one. Listen to advice and accept discipline. Discipline. Now, what does discipline mean in that context? When he's talking about discipline there, what he's talking about is correction. How well do you and I take correction? You did a good job, but if you'll do it this way, it'll save you time, it'll be of benefit, you'll appreciate it, and you'll do a better job of it. Okay, thanks. I appreciate that. And so we take that correction, and we say, I'm going to listen to it, and we don't push it back. Now, what happens is it will make you appear smarter than you really are. I know that from personal experience, okay? And people make me look good all the time. And I'd just like to take a moment to thank you today. If you're one of those people who's making me look really good, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Listen to advice, take correction, be disciplined from it. Now, you don't have to be the smartest person in the room. You don't have to be the wisest person in the room. You don't have to be the most educated person in the room. In fact, this guy said to me one time, I couldn't believe he said it. He said, you know, I've always considered myself the smartest person in the room. And I didn't say anything, but I thought about it. And I said, well, that's where you and I are different in my mind. Because I've never considered myself the smartest person. That thought has never crossed my mind. But let me just say this to you. If it ever did, if I ever really thought that, I would never say it out loud to anyone else. Now, here's where I shine, okay? I'm not the smartest. I'm not the wisest. I'm not the most educated person in the room, but I am the person who is most open to counsel. Just tell me. You don't have to twist my arm. I don't have to learn everything the hard way. I did a lot of that when I was younger. Just go ahead and skip it and tell me what you want to tell me. You'll be surprised at how quickly I will implement it. And that's the truth. And so I take advantage of that. We all can take advantage of that, even if it makes us uncomfortable, even if it hurts our feelings. So what? It may shut us down, but we'll benefit from it. So we don't refuse to listen. Now, here's what happens. If you're a leader and you don't listen to other people, you'll look around one day and the smartest, most talented, most mature people will not be around you anymore. Because you're not listening. So they're not going to waste their time. Those are the people you need, whether you're in an organization or whether you're talking about it personally as well. All right. Now, there are four quick statements I want to give you. This is the so what part. I've given you the information. Now, what are you going to do with it? This is your homework, okay? Number one, avoid the genetic fallacy. The genetic fallacy is discounting information based on the source of the information, not on the merit of the information. Because what happens is we look at people and we size them up and we say, that person could never teach me anything. And so we just tune them out and we don't listen to them. But you know what? They might be able to teach us something in some area because we don't know that. And so we can't just blow that off. We need to listen to them. We struggle with this. In other words, nothing says to me could possibly be true or helpful if it comes from that person. That's not the way we want to do. So what we want to do is realize that bad people can sometimes give good advice. Isn't that true? And that is true. My wife works in the school system, and so they trained her. New Zealand has the highest literacy rate in the world. They trained her to be a reading coach. She learned a lot of things. She could teach children to read in the first grade who were not going to make it in the first grade if she or someone in that group did not teach them. But one-on-one, knowing what to do by the end of that first grade year, they could read. Now, that's very valuable to have, right? And so they said, we want to make you a coach, and we want you to coach other teachers. And then they broadened that, and she did some other things too, and she was a coach. This one woman at a school where she was working came to her after the first year, and she said, I want to apologize to you. I owe you an apology. She said, I've never really listened to you and what you say. I've never really paid attention to what's going on. And she said, the other day I asked a question and you had the right answer. And you told me what I needed to hear. And it dawned on me here at the end of the school year, you really do know what you're talking about. Now, when Laura got there, you know, the teachers were defensive because here's one more person. They want something from me. And Laura was there. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you. So she spent a lot of time trying to develop a relationship with the teachers. And when they would ask her a question, she would just try to answer the question. And so they would slowly begin to catch on. Oh, she really knows what she's talking about. She could benefit me. I can learn from that. And so we learn from others, and we don't just write them off, okay? And why shouldn't Christians be the ones to do that? We should do that because we believe in grace and mercy of all people. We shouldn't just sum somebody up and think, they can't do it, they can't help me. We ought to be open and receptive. Okay, number two, don't assume expertise in one area makes you an expert in every area. I saw a wife at the 9 o'clock service turn her head and look at her husband when I made that point and just start laughing. And he was shaking his head, looking down and laughing too. And I said, they're going to have some conversation after church today. I can tell. You know, I just pick up on these things. I know what's going on. And so, you know, don't think that you're, because here's what happens. If you're smart in one area, if you're successful in one area, you might, that could be intoxicating. Well, look, I was able to do this. Surely I can do something else. You might be good, very good professionally, but not so good relationally. You might be good and successful somewhere, but you may not be successful everywhere. I mean, think of it this way. It's a person who grows up and says, okay, I was a kid once. I ought to know how to raise kids. Let's go for it, right? Maybe, maybe not. You might have had a bad model. You might not have good parents yourself. How are you going to know that? All right. The third thing, don't confuse experience with insight. You ever hear somebody say, hey, this isn't my first rodeo? They say, I wasn't born yesterday. I've been around the block a time or two. You know what they're really saying? They're saying, I'm old, but I'm not necessarily wise. I've got a lot of experience, but what I need is evaluated experience. I need some benefit here. If you don't do an autopsy on your failures, you won't grow. And we want to grow. We want to always keep growing and learning things. You're not going to get better. Don't confuse experience with insight. Now, number four, listen for I know, I know. If you hear somebody else telling you, I know, I know, what they're saying is, stop talking. I don't want to hear from you. I'm not listening to you. If you hear yourself saying that, then you know what's going on. You're in trouble, right? And so you don't want to do that. You want to say, hey, listen, I want to hear you. I'm receptive. I'm ready and willing. Because listen, doing and knowing without doing are two different things. I can know about it, but if I don't do anything with it, that's as worse than not knowing about it. If you know what the answer is and you don't take advantage of it, that's just foolish. So the bottom line is other people can see what we can't see. What are we going to do with that? And we don't have to say, you know what, just stop talking. I'm not listening. I don't want to hear. In the book of James, the brother of Jesus says, be quick to listen, be slow to speak, and slow to anger. Okay, I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to tell you a quick story to close, okay? Years ago, I was serving in the Pensacola district. I was serving a church over there. And my district superintendent came to me and he says, I want you to take a course on listening. He said, it's a 9-month course on listening. He said, I took it. Someone recommended it to me. He said, I took it as an old man. He said, I use things in there. I learned. I use them every day. He said, you're a young man. He said, this will help you throughout your ministry. If you'll go ahead and take this course now, it will benefit you. And so I did. did. And you know what? He was absolutely right. He knew exactly what he was talking about. And I remember a quote that I got from that course. And what it said was, out of all the books I read, out of all the papers I wrote, it said, don't just do something, stand there. We always say, don't just stand there, do something. Do something, even if it's wrong, right? Wrong. He said, don't just do something, stand there. What was it referring to? The author was talking about a non-anxious presence. He said, as a pastor, when you go to somebody who's had a death in their family, don't try to explain death to them. They cannot hear you. Just go there and be with them. In other words, when you're there, don't try to do anything. Just be. Just be there with them. And he was so right. It was such a blessing. Maya Angelou said this, people won't remember what you said, and they won't remember what you did, but they will never forget the way you made them feel. If we'll listen to people, people can give us advice. If we'll listen to people, they can be heard. And sometimes that's the greatest gift you can give to another person. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this message. Thank you for giving us wisdom. Thank you for challenging us to take it, to hear it, to embrace it, to apply it into our lives, to carry it with us from this day forward. We pray that we might walk with you and walk with your people and reach others for you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, amen.